Now time for Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmental responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Momento's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners. Williston location, 879-1000. This is Sports Saturday, living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, we are living that dream and we're taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul, back from my assignment, which I believe, Bernie, that's what you projected while I was away last week. Bernie Siplicki in the big chair to my left. Good morning, my man.
Good morning. And I didn't say you were out on assignment because right. The last time I did that, I on the Town Fair Tire text line,
yeah.
I just got destroyed saying, you know, he's not out on assignment. Assignment means that... you know, he's out doing something to help the show or whatever, and yada yada yada.
Oh, so, are they? Was that person assuming that I wasn't out trying to help this show? Are they assuming that I wasn't out trying to better myself for this show?
You weren't on that day.
I wasn't on that day.
Yeah. So they were right, and I just said you are just gone.
Let me just say this: I love your shirt.
Oh, you are wearing
my Wahoo Wah Virginia Cavalier T-shirt. I can't believe it. I've never seen you in such beautiful colors, Bernie.
Well, I'm only doing it, you know, just to congratulate you in advance at the ACC regular season championship tonight against Louisville.
4 o'clock
tonight. Yep.
So, by the way, ESPN, big day on ESPN today. If you're watching TV, they got the Dukies at 4 o'clock. Dukies at 6 o'clock against North Carolina. I think Michigan and Michigan State, but no mention at 4 o'clock about the Cavaliers. The only the number one team in the ACC. I'm just saying. Get a big game with Louisville, could lock it up. Not even a mention about that. We've got to hear about the Dukies. We've got to hear about the Carolina Tar Heels. We've got to hear about Michigan State and Michigan, but nothing about my Cavaliers. I'm just saying, Bern. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
No, not really.
No, probably for you. All right. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. Good morning, Aaron. A little stumble this morning with your update.
Yeah, I was so worked up about some of the sports stories for this week that
I
totally missed the fact that it was time for the show to start. So that really threw me a curveball.
We all could tell, and so could the listeners. All right, well, let's get started here. I am back from my vacation. What a great trip.
How was the trip?
Great trip. Was spent a few days in Fort Lauderdale area, then jumped on for the first time in my life, jumped on a cruise ship.
Did you do any swimming?
I went swimming in the ocean at Stirrup Cay in the Bahamas, and it just reinforced the fact that I hate the ocean.
Why?
I hate the ocean. There's two things that I got reinforced from this trip. Number one, I hate
the
ocean.
Did you see Bigfoot?
I did not see Bigfoot, but I was viciously attacked by a fish in the middle of Stirrup Cay.
What?
Yes, grabbed me, and I'm not sure what the professional term to say is, right by
the nipple.
The nipple. Grabbed me right in the nipple.
Really?
I was standing there in the ocean, probably about stomach deep, talking to some great friends. And by the way, met some amazing people. My friends, sea scallop. It was a giant fish. I'm just telling you right now, it was giant fish.
What are you
fish.
Doing swimming with big fish?
I wasn't swimming. I was standing there. There was tons
you were just
of people.
You were just standing there?
Minding my own business.
And so you were standing there in water up to your chest?
No,
your chin.
I would say probably not my chin.
Nipple?
Come on. Not up. You think I would go in the ocean up to my chin?
Well, how are you getting bit in the nipple by a big fish?
It jumped out of the water and grabbed me.
No way.
I was viciously attacked by a fish. And it wasn't the only one. It attacked a woman.
What is it, a piranha?
If it was, I would have been in deep trouble. It didn't hurt too bad.
Did you like it?
No. I mean, it hurt my feelings more than anything else. Because nobody that I was with, we met all these great people. Ann and Katie, by the way, from Charlottesville, Virginia, big Cavalier fans. How about me being buddies with them now?
What a shock.
I'm hanging out down in the middle of the Bahamas, and there I meet these people from Charlottesville, Virginia. Yeah, I'm loving that.
More people to share your pain with once the NCAA tournament comes around.
So that was the first thing that reinforced me, that I'd much rather be in a pool than the ocean. That's number one. Number two, what I reinforced is when I got off the airplane on Monday, and it was 2 degrees here.
Yeah.
I just reinforced how much I hate the cold. I can't take it. It's unbelievable. So that's, you know,
you
so vacation
look good,
was great.
Though. You got a nice little bronze
going.
Yeah,
well, that's, you know, a little, you know, it was warm. I had to wear the sunscreen though, man. You got to put that on down there because that sun is hot. But great trip. Had a great time. Met some awesome people. But I'm glad to be back and on the air with you. Bernie, what a show we have today. We're going to talk some New York Yankee baseball with Eric Boland of New York Newsday. He's coming to us live from Tampa. Big news at a Yankee camp this week, as last week, as Luis Severino was shut down with some problems with his shoulder. There are some questions in now in that rotation. There's a lot of injuries with the Yankees.
Got to go get Dallas Keuchel.
Didi Gregorius. Well, and that's a good question. We'll have to ask him. But if they were to go get Dallas Keuchel, that would basically mean you'd have potentially four left-handed pitchers in your rotation.
Can you ever have enough pitching?
You can't, but do you want four left-handed pitchers in your rotation?
You want good pitchers in your rotation. It doesn't matter if they're lefty or righties. You want good pitchers. Well, Dallas Keuchel's a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher, and he's still out there. So isn't Kimbrel. He's still out there, too, by the way. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Papelbon par two, man.
I don't know about that. He's not. No, come on. He's better than Papelbon. Come on. Well, we'll talk to Eric about that at 10:20.
But we're not talking Red Sox.
Well, not today.
No.
And we can get to the Red Sox. I mean, look, the Red Sox, you got the world. It's world's perfect for the Red Sox. Everything's great.
Yes.
I mean, ESPN has turned into Red Sox, Nesson National. I mean, you got Red Sox all week at the restaurant I was in, all week I was working, all everything I saw on television, Red Sox on All Access, Red Sox every day, Red Sox, Red Sox. What do you got to talk about the Sox for? Nothing to talk about.
We still worried about bullpen depth?
You should be worried about bullpen depth if you're the Red Sox. I'll tell you that right now. But it doesn't matter right now because they're the world champs. It's spring training. Life is good. You got Mookie Betts running around the outfield with a microphone on. He's bowling. He's doing all. I mean, if you're a Red Sox, what's to talk about?
That is great sound, by the way.
What's to talk about? Nothing to talk about with the Red Sox.
Well, it's still better than talking about the Mets. But anyway.
Well, we all know that. Second half of the hour at 11:20, we're going to get ready for, listen, it's college. This is Bernie and I love this time of year where this is the week. Tonight starts for the America East, but it's conference tournament time. Next Sunday, we will be picking the seeds. We'll find out where people are going for the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk about that with Jacob Janauer, even though there's from Sporting News College Basketball Insider, even though also some tough news in the world of college basketball. What's happening at LSU? What happened with the former coach at NC State, Doug Gottlieb? We'll get to that, Bernie, because I do want to pick your brain. We're going to talk about that.
Mark Gottlieb,
I'm sorry. We'll talk about that at 11:20. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the Vermont High School playoffs, Bernie. Big things happening this weekend. Some huge games tonight. Some championships are going to be set tomorrow. Get us a rundown on what's going on.
Yeah, got a lot of, excuse me, good stuff going on. St. J. CVU Part 3, Barry Auditorium is going to be hopping for the girls' championships.
One of the greatest venues in the state of Vermont, Barry Auditorium.
Oh, without question.
Unbelievable, right? That place humps in there, yeah. Man. It just rocks. It's unbelievable.
It is a special place. Was fortunate enough to have played some high school games there, and it's just a great, great venue. If you have the chance to get there, you got to go because it's just a lot of fun. And
it's the closest thing you're going to get to the movie Hoosiers, I think, in the state of Vermont. That facility, when it's packed, is like it's like an old Hoosiers movie in there.
Yes, it is. And, you know, so you got that going on. You have, St. J. and CVU for the third time on tomorrow afternoon at Patrick Gym for their championship. The boys basketball side, a lot of quarterfinals were played last night. The Division I semifinals are set. The same four teams that made it last year are back in there, just different matchups this year. Milton with a big win in Division II, they're going to be going to the Barry Odd. So those things are tuning up. We also had the hockey state semifinals. They're happening today, a couple of games yesterday on the girls' side in Division II. So those championships are Wednesday and Thursday. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of opportunities to go out and see a lot of great games and fun times. So take the opportunity to do that.
When you talk about that Division I basketball Final Four now for the boys, and you've got all four teams back in it, which is Rice, Rutland, Mount Mansfield, and St. Johnsbury. To me, and just tell me if I'm wrong, and this is from somebody that's watched it from the outside, I haven't paid attention exclusively to it, especially being away for a couple of weeks, but I mean, it looks like it's pretty wide open, Bernie. I mean, I think, you look at all four of these teams, I think you could make an argument that all four could win a state championship.
Yes, without question. I think both games will be good. St. Johnsbury beat Rice in the last game of the regular season. All these teams have kind of played each other and played through Rutland and Mount Mansfield, played early on, so... I got to say from the start, if you had to say who are the four teams that were going to be there for Division One, these four names would have come up. Then, you know, maybe a CVU or a South Burlington, somebody like that. But really, these are by seed. It's 1, 2, 3, and 5. But you can easily say these are the best four teams.
And on the girls' side, I think when you look at it, CVU, St. Johnsbury, we've been waiting for it all season long. CVU's had the better of it so far. They seem to be the team to beat, but we know St. Johnsbury has that tonic to knock off the Redhawks.
They do. CVU's beat them twice in the regular season. Sunday's going to be a fun game, and you know, all along it's been, okay, let's kind of fast forward to the championship because these are the two big best teams. Let's see how they do on the stage, and they you know, these two teams have rolled in the first three rounds of the tournament.
Unbelievable teams. Yeah. And then in the hockey side of things, especially at Colchester High School, there's a lot of excitement there. Let's talk about, and I know that we're a regional area here, but let's talk about those Colchester Lakers, two teams that have kind of come out of nowhere here to get themselves in a position. What Jamie Rossi's done with that girls program at Colchester Burlington is special. They're getting ready to take on a very good Essex team, and your Colchester boys getting ready to take on Missisquoi. Two teams. Look, we know what Essex brings to the table. We know what Missisquoi brings to the table, but you got to like what the Lakers are doing.
I love what the Lakers are doing. They've had a great year, and really, the on the boys' side, the number three seed in the Division Two state tournament, and they're going up to Missisquoi, who they played earlier in the year. Missisquoi got the better of them, but there's been a lot of growth and improvement by the team. Coach Andy Korn has done a great job with the Colchester squad, and it's going to be a dogfight because Missisquoi is very talented, yeah. and it's going to be fun. And then on the girls' side in Division One, the BC BCHS Lakers, the co-op has been very, very successful. It's giving kids opportunity to play and do some things. But, the mainstays of BFA and Essex on the girls' D1 side and Essex on the boys' D1 side.
It's unbelievable.
But there have been a lot of upsets on the other side of it for the boys' Division One as well, with Rice and CVU upsetting the 2 and 3 seeds. And Essex, is going to be in the semifinals today. So it's just against... And it's just good stuff.
It is.
A lot of good stuff.
And if you haven't had a chance to go out and watch any of these games, guys, I'm telling you, get out and do it. I mean, there's nothing better. I've always said, and obviously you and I are very close in high school, as I coach a team and you've been an athletic director at a Division I school. I mean, playoffs, there's nothing like it. You know what I mean? And the kids work all year long for these moments. And if you're looking for something to do today, you want to see some real passion and some real just playing for the love of the game, go check out some of these playoff games today, because there's some very intriguing games and they're right here local. I mean, there's big games here and it's going to be local. I do want to shift gears though, Bernie. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in college basketball with you. If you haven't heard, Will Wade, the head coach at LSU, the number one ranked team in the SEC right now. There is a wiretape out there. Yahoo Sports and ESPN, I believe, broke it this week. There's a tape of Will Wade talking about giving Javonte Smart, their star freshman, that's arguably their best player right now, something to entice him to come to LSU. Now, we don't know what that is. We're not sure exactly where we're going with that, but LSU has just suspended him indefinitely. The reason being is when the administration wanted to talk to Will Wade, he refused to do it. So LSU suspended him. There's just a lot going on here. And then obviously we talked about the Mark Gottfried situation that came out, the former coach at NC State that was also part of this process, and he was paying players to come. Without getting into this stuff, because this is all really fresh, someone that's been around Division I basketball forever and big-time college basketball forever, recruiting and all that stuff, Bernie, how rampant is this issue in college hoops today?
Well, you would hope it's not, but the the stories that are coming out and, the court case and all this stuff that's been happening, the sentences that have occurred, it's probably out there more than we think and more than we want to know. I mean, let's be realistic. For the adults, it's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
For what the NCAA pays for television rights, the amount of sharing that goes off to these bigger schools to as you win, you get more money from the NCAA and payouts for the tournament. So unfortunately, it's out there, and you take a chance. You look at how much money these coaches make, especially at these big time programs, and these programs that, okay, LSU has been good, but never broke through.
Well, they've been down and out for a long time. Well,
Ben Simmons, they out, you know,
they weren't a good team.
Right, they were kind of on the bubble team, you know, but they were an attraction.
Yeah.
You know, you people wanted to see them, and you look at the contracts these guys make. So, you know, you have that type of job that pays that much money. Sometimes you got to get players.
Well, and the pressure to be successful.
Correct.
I mean, you know, you take this job and this, and I'm not condoning any of this stuff, and I hate the fact that it happened, but you can see where good people would make tough decisions because it's your livelihood. If you don't win, you're done. So, you know, you have these people that, you know, if you ever saw the movie Blue Chips, I don't know if you saw Blue Chips back in the day with Nick Nolte and Shaq and
Penny Hardaway.
You know, that was basically about a coach that had always gone the right way and then hadn't won in a long time. And people were questioning who he was and he made some poor decisions. That's what happens here. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We do have to take a quick break, but I do want to get to we have so much to talk about today. If you notice that I'm jumping around all over the place. You know, I'm jumping because there's so much talk about.
Last week we were a little more composed, weren't we, Aaron?
Well, yes, we were.
Listen, I get it. I'm very out of control, but I don't want to forget our Green City Garage poll question. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, number 5 in South Burlington. Phone number 651-9299. It's where I bring my car every time there's a problem. Our Green City Garage. Check them out in South Burlington. Green City Garage poll question today, which you can go to at 1013 Twitter on Twitter to answer the question. Michael or LeBron, who's the greatest of all time? I know LeBron just passed Michael. We'll talk about that later in the show. Who do you got, Michael or LeBron? I'll tell you who I got. I got the great number 23, MJ, baby. Not even close. LeBron James.
Number 23.
I know that I finished with MJ. He's the greatest player of all time. LeBron James couldn't even carry his jersey.
I'm taking LeBron just to set you guys off.
Well, you're just a jerk. Well, it's 1-1 then. So check it out. Green City Garage poll question. You got Michael or LeBron. Michael's my man. LeBron's Bernie's man, but Bernie's a jerk.
It's 2-1. I'm with you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's the first time in the history of this show that anyone's taken my side of that sits in this room.
You're welcome.
It's 2-1, Bernie. What do you think of that?
I'll be all right.
You're always all right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we talk New York Yankees baseball with Yankee insider from New York Newsday, Eric Bolin. Don't go anywhere.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We are back. It's 101.3 The Game on... We are 101.3 The Game. We're Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Just got off the phone with Eric Bolin. It turns out that New York Newsday has moved him, so he is now at a press conference. We're going to have to talk about the Yanks, Burn, me and you.
Why?
Well, because that's what we're going to talk about here.
But I don't want to talk about the Yankees.
Too bad.
I don't like the Yankees.
Well, you can't talk about them. I like the Red Sox, but I can still talk about them.
I do have a question about the Yankees, which we talked about off air.
Sure.
Sonny Gray this week said to the media that he felt like his struggles with New York came from the fact that they tried to make him throw a slider that he wasn't very strong with.
Yep.
I want to know your take on that as someone who watched a lot of the games.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sonny Gray is first of all, I think anytime you have failure someplace, you don't want to start passing blame on somebody else. I think when it comes to Sonny Gray in the situation, and look, I'm not a pitching coach and I wasn't in the dugout and I'm not sure how many sliders he threw to what he wanted to throw. But the reality was he pitched very poorly at Yankee Stadium. I believe his ERA was somewhere pushing around 8 or 9 at Yankee Stadium and somewhere in the mid threes away off the top of my head. With you asking me that question, I think Sonny Gray just struggled. I just think there's a mentality. There are pitchers and there are players that just don't thrive in New York City in that spotlight. Sonny Gray seemed to be that type of player. If the Yankees made him throw more sliders, it's very possible. But he needed something for hitters to stay off his fastball. And that's what the Yankees tried to do with him. I don't want to say Sonny Gray was a disappointment in New York, but definitely was a guy that the Yankees gave up a lot of really talented young kids to get him a few years ago.
Was the stage too big for him?
It's very possible. I mean, a guy coming from Oakland, I think he had been in the playoffs once. He was thrust into a Yankee situation the year they weren't
to kind of be a saviorish.
Yeah, I mean, he was brought in middle of the season. You know, they traded away they traded away Dustin Fowler and they traded away another James Caprillion, two of the top prospects in their program for him. James Caprillion is supposed to be a star. He's had a lot
of your farm system's so good it doesn't matter.
Well, but it's not as good as it was when before they traded for all these guys. I mean, it's still up there, but James Kaprielian and Dustin Fowler were two of the bigger names in the Yankee system. They trade them to Oakland for Sonny Gray to bring in that guy that could galvanize this rotation to get them into the playoffs, which they did get to the playoffs. They were a game away from the World Series that year, but Sonny Gray really had nothing to do with that. He struggled when he came in. He struggled mightily last year. I think I can only think of two or three games top of head that he was successful. But I think when Sonny Gray starts saying the reason I wasn't successful in New York was because of the Yankees, I think that's kind of ridiculous. You know, it's really about your performance. You had to get the job done. You didn't get it done. Simple as that. So that answers your question. I mean, I don't know Sonny Gray. I don't know what Aaron Boone and the Yankee coaching staff with, you know, we're trying to get, you know, out of him. I'd have no idea, but I know that he struggled, you know, and I think what the Yankees did with getting rid of him and sending him to Cincinnati is probably a good move. It's definitely a good move for the Yankees, and it's going to probably work out for Cincinnati as well.
It does seem like a good trade, but the injury bug early for the Yankees here.
Yeah.
Surprising?
Scary.
What do you do?
I would say it's scary if you're a Yankee fan when you think your number one pitcher, Luis Severino, has been shut down. He's going to be shut down for the rest of spring training, probably going to start on the DL to start the season with a shoulder issue, had some discomfort. MRI said it's rotator cuff inflammation, if I'm correct in that. We were going to ask Eric that, and we'll get Eric on again in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to him again. But, there's some concern there. When you look at the Yankee rotation today, you know, there. You have to be concerned. Now Paxton, who they just got from Seattle, which is from a trade, is a very good pitcher. We know J Happ is serviceable. Tanaka is a serviceable pitcher. CC Sabathia is going to be on the DL. So there are question marks in that rotation without a doubt. And, you know, when you look at the lineup, it's very right-handed hitting dominant. There's not a lot of lefty power in there. There's a great competition going on between Greg Bird and Luke Voit at first base. Luke Voit, the power hitting right-handed hitter that came out of nowhere late last year and helped lead the Yankees to that 100-win season late in the year, kind of carried them, especially late in the year when they weren't playing great. He carried them at the plate. Greg Bird has been the guy that they've expected to be a great player for a long time, just has had injury issues and has not met the expectation that came with him in 2015 when he joined the team. But right now he's having a good spring, so we'll see how that plays out. They bring in Troy Tulowitzki for basically nothing, and they brought him in for the league minimum to kind of fill the gap for Didi Gregorius being on the DL with the Tommy John surgery he had in the offseason. But again, this is a guy, Troy Tulowitzki, that was basically Toronto was paying him his salary to play in New York. He's had two heel surgeries, did not play at all last year. He has been declining. He's shown some good things this spring, but we have to wait and see there. The Yankees are relying on two kids in the infield, and Andujar and Torres, two of their top prospects. Torres is, we know what Gleyber Torres brings to the table. He was spectacular last season. But again, can you carry that over? Most of the times, and you know in professional sports, you guys, people make adjustments. Can these kids make adjustments? We're going to see that. Miguel Andujar, who was absolutely hosed for the American League Rookie of the Year last year from Otani. I mean, let's just face the facts. Hosed. No. Just blatantly hosed, not even close. I mean, you talk about fixes in. There is no way that Otani should have won that over him, but that's not what we're talking about here.
He should have fished in by something else.
He is going to be in the he's going to be in third base for the Yankees, but there's questions about his defense. The kid's worked hard. Gary Sanchez. I'm talking about, here's a team that everybody thinks is going to win the World Series. Listen to me downplay, but there are question marks in New York. Gary Sanchez had an arguably terrible season last year, hit under 200. Power was down. Obviously, average was down. He was very average behind the plate for the exception of a very powerful arm. So there's a lot of questions there. The outfield has some questions as well. Aaron Hicks has not been on. They've had him down because of an injury for most of the preseason here in the spring training. I'm sure it's all precautionary. He'll be back, but he hasn't been healthy. Jacoby Ellsbury is still out there somewhere. And then, you know, you've got Judge, you know, who's Judge out there. And we've got Stanton. And they brought back Brett Gardner, who's a young kid. So an older player. So he's not a young kid. He's an older player.
Stanton's going to be the AL MVP.
Well, we'll see. I don't know how Stanton could. His swing just doesn't dictate a high average.
He is going to have such a great year that he's gone through it once.
We'll see.
He's going to explode on the situation in New York this year.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation about the New York Yankees right now. 802-655-6672, or you can text us on our Town Fair Tire text line, the same number, 655-6672. But I think you have to look at this Yankee team and think, good. I mean, the back end of that bullpen is going to be filthy if they live up to expectation. When you have a bullpen that boasts Chapman, Betances, Ottavino, Green, Britton. You got those five guys right there. Just those guys right there. I mean, all five of those guys would close for anybody in the league. That back end's going to be crazily good. So if this kind of reminds me a little bit.
Five through nine taken care of.
That's what I mean. It reminds you a little bit, Bernie. You can probably relate. I'm not sure. You're too young for this, Aaron. But the Yankee heyday back in the late 90s, that's what the Yankees did. They beat you through five innings and the bullpen just puts you away. So that's something that's very good for them. But there's some questions on this baseball team. We'll see. And then you look at the Red Sox end of things. That's the team they got to catch. What?
Again, I just don't. There's no glitches in the Yankee. They are made to win and win now.
Well, two of their star power bats didn't really come through last year. I mean, as you said, Gary Sanchez struggled. He also had effort issues last year.
Oh, no question. And but then, some of those effort issues could also be to injuries. I mean, there were some things out there that looked really bad, but he was struggling with shoulder issues. He had leg problems last year. So, great point. And there's no question his bat not being in that lineup and being successful every single day was a big. They won 100 games. I mean, so it's hard to say.
Right.
But they struck out a lot. They didn't score. They scored a lot of runs, hit a lot of home runs, but they didn't score a lot of runs in big situations. They didn't get those big hits. They hit a lot of three-run homers, but not the big hit.
And to your point with Giancarlo Stanton sort of not living up to expectations last year and saying some of the things he said about the Marlins, I've actually heard Marlins people talking about how he doesn't really he had a hard time coming through late in the season when they were trying to make a push for a late playoff spot.
And he did struggle in the play. I mean, Stanton did not play well in the playoffs.
He
for the
didn't,
Yankees.
But again, I think, you know, You come into a venue where the expectations are so high.
Agreed.
And you burp wrong in a restaurant.
Sure.
And there's going to be a 3-page article about it. And
it's true.
So I think him learning the system and understanding how it works and now being more comfortable, I really think he is going to play more relaxed.
I agree with you, and I 100% agree with you. And I think first year New York-itis is
real.
It's
so true.
I think it's totally real. So I agree with you 100%.
I mean, even like, you know, New York, Boston, look at the guys in Boston. They really, you know, 2 years ago, they struggled. And then last year, they relaxed and they went and they had a great year. I think it's the same scenario.
So he's not a bad spot, but he has a question mark as to whether or not he'll come back from that first year Yankees struggle and produce, or whether or not Marlins fans were right in that he's not necessarily everything he's made to be.
Well, I think he's a star, and I think he's one of the best players in baseball. I think he's one of the best. I think he's one of the most feared hitters in baseball. There's no question about that. So I think it's not fair to classify him as a bust. I think he's going to hit 40 home runs. But listen to me. When I say the word bust, I don't mean a terrible player. I mean, when you're a Yankee fan and a Red Sox fan, a Celtic fan, a Patriot fan, it's not about what you do in April, May, or June. It's what you do in August, September, and October.
Fair.
And so at the end of the day, he needs to perform at the biggest times. Everyone thought Alex Rodriguez was a bust until he did what he did in 2009 with the Yankees. We basically carried them to a world championship. So the question mark for the Yankee fan is, will he be that guy? The good news for Stanton in this lineup with the players they have, with the names that they have, he doesn't have to do things.
He's protected a little bit.
Exactly. If he goes out there and drives in 120 runs, hits 40 home runs, and bats 260, 270, that's what they need out of him. And we'll see if he can do that on a consistent basis. The thing the Yankees have to do more of, put the bat on ball. That's what the Red Sox did so well last year. How many big base hits did the Red Sox get late in this season that weren't big home runs?
Jackie Bradley. Everybody was killing him. Get him out of the lineup, trade him, and look at what he does.
Doug from Milton on our Town Fair Tire text line just wrote, the Yankee, and I haven't even read this yet, so hopefully it's okay. So we'll see, Doug. Here we go. The Yankee bullpen is great, no doubt about it, but there are real questions about the starting staff. Sabathia's in his late 30s. Tanaka should have had Tommy John surgery 3 or 4 years ago. And the big maple, I thought, was a WeChat best. I'm not sure what WeChat means.
A something at best, I think is what he means.
A something at best. He's only thrown for 160 innings once his career. I'd be a lot happier as a, where are we going here? As a Yankee fan today, if they had been out and overpaid for Jacob DeGrom. Well, you would have had to give up the whole farm system for Jacob DeGrom, and Jacob DeGrom is over 30 years old. But Doug, I'm with you. There's question marks in that rotation.
The answer is very simple. Two words. Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel isn't necessarily the answer there. I think
for what the concerns are in terms of the starting rotation, they got to go get him.
Come on, Andrew in Fairfax. He's talking about Stanton. Led the league in strikeouts and earns one of the most feared hitters in baseball. Label delusional Yankee fan. Get over yourself, Andrew. Come on.
Here.
Hold on a minute. You and I both know that Giancarlo Stanton is one of the most feared hitters in baseball. Period. He does strike out a lot.
He just hasn't come through.
I mean, he's still one of the most feared hitters in baseball. He's one of the biggest bashers in the game. So I'm not being a delusional Yankee. That's who he is.
It's the difference between him and J.D. Martinez, where Martinez works every at-bat. Giancarlo Stanton doesn't necessarily get the ball on bat every time, but when he does, that ball could leave the park at any moment,
and that's the fear. He's one of the biggest power hitters in the game, whether you like it or not. I mean, it's not being delusional. I mean, that's reality. And J.D. Martinez is one of the most feared batters in baseball. Mookie Betts is one of the most feared batters in baseball.
And that's like
Aaron Judge is one of the most feared batters in baseball.
That's a comparison I wanted to make because you were talking about how the... What is that sound? Someone's calling our phone.
Oh, good.
I'll get that in a minute.
Yeah, that's your job, man. Go over and get that. That's good. We got a call coming in.
What I was going to say is the difference was that the Red Sox had power, but they also were really good at working their at-bats, and JD was one of the big spots for that because he was considered a power bat, but he also was capable of doing that.
Of course.
The questions, are Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton going to be able to develop that ability to get ball on bat when they're not necessarily going to be able to knock that ball out of the park?
And I would say that Judge is that hitter. I would say the Judge is the guy. But I would say JD Martinez is one of the best hitters in baseball. I mean, there's no question about it. I think JD Martinez, you could argue, is the best hitter in baseball. But to sit here and tell me that Giancarlo Stanton is not one of the most feared hitters in baseball, get up. You're a delusional Red Sox fan then if you're going to say that. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Now that much power is always feared.
Of course. It's 50 home runs a year. Come on, give me a break.
Be nice.
I'm being nice. I'm just being real. I'm just being honest. That's all.
Okay.
I'm being very honest with this guy. I mean, I love Andrew. Thanks for texting. Keep texting, my man. But come on, you think I'm a delusional Yankee fan? Get over it. Come on. I am not. Listen, if there's one thing I am, is I'm not delusional with anything.
Eli Manning. But anyways,
the way they structured their lineup. Where Stan is third or fourth, and Judge is second or third. That home run can always mean more than one point on the board.
And so
I think that's really one of the scariest things about him.
Yeah, I mean, and he's, you know, like, again, when you drive in over 100 runs and you hit over 45 or 50 home runs arguably every year, you're going to be one of the most feared hitters. It's not even about being feared. The whole point is can he come through in the clutch? Can he be the hitter the Yankees need him to be? And can they start putting bat on the ball? That's the only thing. Doesn't mean you're not feared. That's what it comes down to. Dave Kingman was feared. He didn't street struck out a lot as well. He's a feared hitter.
So is Rusty Staub.
There you go. The big redhead man.
That's it.
Rest in peace, Rusty Staub.
Yes.
All right, take a quick break when we come back. Hey, me and Burns Giants made some news yesterday. We'll talk about that. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I mean, don't tell me Giancarlo Stanton's not a feared hitter. 266
really?
Batting. Hold on a minute. This is a down year for this cat. 266 batting average last year. 38 homers. 164 hits.
How many strikeouts?
I mean, he has a lot of strikeouts. I mean, that's not the argument.
That's become the trend in the MLB anyway.
Yeah, 211
right?
strikeouts. It's too many strikeouts. You got to put the bat on ball. I get all that. But you're not going to tell me he's not a feared hitter. You're not going to tell me Giancarlo Stanton when... You can't tell me Red Sox fans last year. Hold on.
No, that's why I said, and I can't wait for it to happen, that he's going to be the MVP in the American League this year.
He's got 305 career home runs. His career started basically and looks like in 2010, essentially. Been in the league for 9 years. I mean, you can't say he's not feared. And Red Sox fans, you can't say that the day that he got announced that the Yankees traded for him that you didn't think, here we go.
Everyone was talking about how they were getting a freebie to the World Series.
And you should thank the Yankees because you wouldn't have gotten J.D. Martinez if it didn't happen. J.D. Martinez wouldn't have signed in Boston if the Yankees didn't do that. That was a late signing by the Red Sox. They didn't want to do that.
I have no complaints over anything. You're the one who's losing your marbles over this.
I'm just making my point. Making my point.
You are.
655-6672 if you want to call us today.
Keep calling Jeff delusional.
Yeah, or because Aaron doesn't answer the phone anyway when you call, but you know. 655-6672 if you want to give us a buzz. 802-655-6672. Exactly. All right. Big day yesterday. A lot of stuff happened in the NFL. Michael Bennett, Looks like he's going to the Patriots. Is that confirmed he's going to the Patriots? I saw that's pretty close.
I believe that trade was closed yesterday, yeah. Michael Bennett.
Interesting move for the Patriots to move on Michael Bennett, but a great pass rush from Philadelphia. That is definitely a good deal for him and good deal for the Patriots. The Giants yesterday with a really big pickup, I thought the trade. Well, first of all, Landon Collins being basically quote-unquote released by the New York Giants. Okay, Landon Collins, captain of the defense. A lot of Giant fans were really upset about all that stuff, losing Landon Collins. It's obviously difficult. But I can kind of see why the Giants would do that. I mean, I can kind of understand why. I mean, Landon Collins, as much as you loved him as a Giant fan, and you kind of grasped onto that athlete because the defense has been so bad for so long.
So it wasn't the offense's fault?
No, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But I can see why they do it. I just don't think, I don't know if Landon's worth all that money for a team that has so many problems.
I agree. And, you know, as much as like the trade yesterday, I thought was great.
Yeah. We'll get to that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for Landon Collins, like, you know, at first I struggled with it.
Sure.
Because like you said, you're trying to latch on to something.
Yeah.
And he was one of the,
you felt like he was a building block.
Right. And you know, they made the trade, one of the trades Jerry Reese made to go get him to the first pick of the second round, you know, a few years ago and those type of things. And he was one of the recognizable names and he was from Alabama and there was just so much there. But, you know, he was good. But was he not as good because the people around him stunk or because he wasn't playing as well? Go ahead, Aaron.
I would say he was top five safety, strong safety specifically, in the NFL. But you missed his window of value in terms of winning because you knew he was eventually going to get a big contract. And that time came and you weren't ready with pieces around him to pay him that kind of money and have security.
You might be right, and I also know that he's been a declining player since his All-Pro year, the year that he really broke out, which I think was his sophomore season in the pros. I think one of those. I think that was when he. But listen, it would happen. And yesterday, the big trade. Listen, Olivier Vernon is now going to be a Cleveland Brown, the Giant, and they also swapped picks. I believe it was a third and a fifth.
Fourth and fifth. Like 20 spots.
Yep, and the Giants get arguably one of the best tackles in the league.
Guards.
One of the best guards in the league when they get Kevin, it's Zeitler, right? Zeitler. Interesting note about him. So Kevin, this kid, Zeitler, he's allowed 11 pressures, one every 58 pass blocking attempts, 3 sacks, 1 hit, and 7 hurries in 1,091 snaps last season. To contrast, the Giants' right guards combined to allow 39 pressures all last season, the two guys that they had back there. So an upgrade on the offensive line, a great move. And Vernon just... You know, it's funny.
He's starting to break down a little bit.
I listened to all the New York writers yesterday. I got the chance to listen to a little bit after this trade was over. Just crushing Gettleman for this. How can you get rid of Vernon? He was the best player in the defense. I would disagree that Vernon was the best player in the defense. I thought he was a non-factor most of the season. I can remember games where his name wasn't even brought up. He was an albatross, and the contract's kind of, it's a wash. I think the Giants saved $1.5 million on the cap because of it. But to me,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's considering how much that contract was worth.
Right.
It's not a lot. You know, when I first saw it, I thought, wow, this is going to clear up a lot of money. It didn't clear up a lot of money.
Because the guard, his contract is
it's big as well. Yeah. But yeah. This guy is unbelievable. Kind of in the prime of his career, one of the best in the business. I think it's a great move by the Giants, Bernie.
I love it. I mean, in terms of, you know, the plan, the vision to hopefully fix the Giants. You now have Solder, you have Hernandez, you're going to get your starting center, Jalapio back from the gruesome injury that he had when he was starting as center. Now you get this guy at right guard, and you either, you know, now you go pick up there's a right tackle, a couple of good free agents that are out there. You know, I mean, my hope is that the Giants still try to trade OBJ for some draft picks. And then you take one of those draft picks, you send, like, you know, the asking price for Josh Rosen is a third round pick. You get an extra third round pick. You take that. You go
cut
get
Eli.
Josh.
You bring in.
You're interrupting me.
Sorry.
you allow Josh Rosen to learn under the tutelage of a Hall of Famer behind a great offensive line now that'll allow him to throw for over 4,000 yards again like he did this past year. And then you just draft all defense.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How much of Eli Manning's contract would be dead money to the cap if they were to release him? Do you have any idea?
I want to say, I thought like up over $10 million.
I think it was 13, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I would do if I was the Giants.
Ugh,
I like the idea.
I don't want to hear this.
Here's what I would do. I really would. When it comes to the quarterback position. I would do this. I would release Eli Manning. I would release him.
If you bring up that guy's name, I'm okay. not going to be happy.
I would make the trade for Rosen. I would let Rosen sit behind. You're not going to like this, but it'd be a cheap way to do it, and they can still win.
You're going to say his name.
Tyrod Taylor.
No!
Yes.
No.
Do you know what Tyrod Taylor's stats are?
I don't care.
I would.
He's a really good quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor would be the perfect fit. Hold on. Let me make my point now. Tyrod Taylor would be the perfect fit of the Giants for what their skill sets are. You're starting to build an offensive line. You got an elite running back. If you end up keeping Odell Beckham Jr., which is a good possibility, you've got some elite guys on the edge that can, you know, you can get the ball down the field. He's got a power arm. He can run. Okay? It's just as simple as that to me. That would really help this football team. And at the back end of it, you would have Rosen that could just develop underneath Shurmur. Like that would be the goal here. The Giants are like hamstrung with Eli Manning. It's like Eli Manning is holding on. This is not to bash Eli Manning, because I appreciate Eli Manning. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. He's won two championships. He's had iconic throws, been in iconic moments. But whatever has happened, Eli is not capable of being successful standing in that pocket. He's just not. If it's because the offensive line around him for years has been so bad. But bringing a guy in Tyrod Taylor last year with Cleveland, if it wasn't for poor field goal kicking, who knows if Baker Mayfield would even gotten on the field. I mean, he had the games that he played. He had New Orleans beat. He had the Steelers beat. And then they make the decision because, you know, they tied one and lost one of those games, both games that they should have won. Maybe they take off with him. 59 touchdowns to 20 interceptions career, Tyrod Taylor, through 2018. A very serviceable quarterback that would be perfect in what the Giants are trying to do, and it would cost them nothing. Nothing.
You think it would cost them nothing?
I think a contract for Tyrod Taylor would be much cheaper than, say you bring in the guy from Philadelphia, you know, or you try to bring, or you bring in the kid from the backup from New Orleans there.
I guess, and so I'm going to go this way. I mean, obviously, I get your point, but I'm just an Eli apologist. I always have been. Right. Always will be. I guess, are the intangibles of dealing with like media and dealing with circumstances and situations for a Josh Rosen to potentially learn behind Eli versus now you have two guys that are coming in without having been through that.
But how important really is that asset to keep that behind the... I mean, because really, you really are. You have enough... The NFL is such that you don't have to be elite to get, say, to the playoffs. You have to be serviceable. And I just feel like Eli Manning... And look, this God bless him. He's a great man. He's been a great Giant. You could even argue that he's the greatest Giant quarterback ever to play in New York. You could argue that. You and I had this debate last night. Ooh. I think it's Phil Sims.
We did.
Personally, you probably, hence the Pedialyte.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But what I'm saying to you is, at this time of his career, he's just not capable of doing it anymore. And there's so many examples you can go to watch when you watch Eli play. When there is any type of pressure around him, he is not capable of getting it done anymore. And that's too bad. But I'm telling you, make the decision. I feel like the Giants are just hamstrung that they want him to retire. But they're not going to do it. They want it to be perfect, and they want the breakup to be sweet, and we want Eli to walk off on his terms. He's not going anywhere, folks. And this team is not going anywhere near the playoffs if he's a quarterback next year. Nowhere near it.
If they run my plan into fruition with trading Odell, getting some draft picks, trading the draft pick for Rosen, then drafting all defense, I'm telling you they're in the playoffs.
All right.
Year.
Well, I mean, I hope you're right, but I can't. Another year of Eli Manning, another winter of this, I can't do it.
I just want it to happen because when he's successful, I just can't wait to remind you.
And I will eat that crow, man. I will eat that bowl of crow, buddy boy. I'll tell you right now. If he is successful, I will own it. But I'm telling you, he doesn't have it in him. Doesn't have it in him.
It's hard to quantify how good offensive linemen are. But I got some good news for you guys. Kevin Zeitler's never been called for a holding penalty more than twice in a season.
Well, that we like to hear that.
Doesn't get beat a lot.
Because that's what the Giants do, is they hold. That's all they do. I agree with you. That's a great pickup for him. No question. Gellman did an A+ for that. Now release Eli. Bring in Tyrod. Do everything else Bernie says. And let's go. I'm in. I'm all in. We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
All right, we just had a call. What happened with that call, Aaron?
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
We had a caller say he wants the Giants to keep Eli Manning because he's approaching some historic numbers. He then followed that by saying that he is within 10 losses of the most losses by a starting quarterback of all time.
There you go.
So you should want that.
No, you shouldn't want that. You want that as a Giants fan?
It's not going to happen.
What are you talking about? It's so close to happening.
Nah.
Just
and you know, on the text line, you know,
yeah,
getting rid of Collins.
Yeah, so Todd. Vern,
yep.
Yeah, so Todd just sent us a text in the text. Listen, Town Fair Tire text line, 655-6672, or call us, 802-655-6672. Give us a call. Let's talk. Stupid question, Todd says. How's the Giants defense improved this offseason after getting rid of Vernon and Collins? Hope they have a plan, either in the draft or free agency, to replace those players, especially Collins.
Right, and I agree. The defense that was not good, you know, you lose your two quote-unquote names.
Well, one. You had one good player. That's Collins. Vernon wasn't good. Vernon was such a bust.
I said you lose names.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And Vernon was pretty good in his first year.
Yeah.
The last 2 years has been injury-plagued.
Yeah.
But, again, you make those trades, and I think this is a very good, very deep draft for defense.
Very true.
And you get more picks and you got to reload that way.
And don't you think it's March 10th? Don't you think that you have to pump
March 9th,
whatever. There you go. It's even earlier than that. It's March 9th. Don't you have to pump the brakes and just wait and see what they do? You know, Michael Kay and the Michael Kay show yesterday, I was watching that when I was listening to it. I was driving out to see you, my man. And he was just ripping the Giants apart. I actually tweeted at him because I'm a big tweeter now, Bern.
Ugh.
I tweet all over the place. I'm tweeting. I'm just tweeting. But I tweeted him. I said, can you just like pump the brakes on crushing these guys and see what he does? Like, I feel like he's got a plan. I think these moves are smart. I mean, I think you got to wait and see before you jump off. Say, oh, my God, they got rid of Vern. Oh, my God, they got rid of Collins. See what he does. See the players he brings in and see what he can create. Give him a chance. They're not playing this week. They're playing in August, September. Give him a chance to put this team together.
Remember our boy, Dimitri Moore?
Oh, yeah. He's quite a big deal in that new league, right?
Oh, he's killing it.
Yeah. Are you still watching that? I haven't watched a game since the first week.
I haven't watched it down, but I just, you know, read stuff, and he's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff, though.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's exciting. Again, I really... You know, I like Antonio Brown, OBJ. I just want the trades to happen. I'm sick of all the speculation.
How do you sign Antonio Brown now? Honestly, how do you sign him? I have no idea. You'd have to be, the only team that should sign him are the Patriots. Because Bill Belichick's the only guy that can take control of these guys. If you're the Patriots, I'd get Brown and I'd try to get Beckham. I would. But other than that, why would you want that? Why would you want to bring that into your organization? Typical. It's like LeBron James, you know, as soon as it turns, it goes bad. When you're winning, it's great. But when it turns, it goes bad. Same thing.
So to wrap up the Eli Manning conversation,
yes.
Vinny Testaverde has the record with 123 regular season losses. Eli Manning is at 114.
Oh, we're coming for you. We're coming for you, Vinny.
Nine away.
We're coming for you. Time for your sports update, buddy.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
Isn't it ironic that our Eli Manning is about this creeping up on a Jets quarterback? When that starts happening, you have to start to think, maybe I got to get out of this.
Oh, man.
Hey, don't forget to check out our Green City Garage poll question today. Who do you got, Michael or LeBron, as the greatest player ever to play in the NBA? Just between those two. You may like somebody else, but just between those two. Let us know what you think on at 101.3, The Game, on Twitter.
What do we got so far?
78% say Michael Jordan, 22% say LeBron James.
And Michael, typical. It's just the way it is. Michael's the man.
I just like to say LeBron just to infuriate
it does.
You.
It drives me nuts. He drives me bananas. And he's such a great player, and I want to love LeBron James, but I can't love LeBron James.
You know, you were talking about you got back from Florida.
Yeah.
You walk off the plane. And
cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
You know who I got respect for?
Who?
Talk about cold.
Who?
People that like go out ice fishing.
Oh, crazy.
You mean insane people?
No, they're not insane.
No.
They're just, I couldn't do it. And for those people that do that, God bless them.
When you, there is nothing more exhilarating. I mean, there's a lot of things in sport that are fun, things you can do. But like when you catch a fish, like I just picked up fishing a few years ago. I'm not good at, you know, I like to wear the gloves. I'm afraid of them, all that kind of stuff.
You don't touch a worm.
No, I don't do that either. That's a good point. But when you catch a fish, you talk about exhilaration, man. You pull that thing and you're like, oh my God, I just caught this thing. Now I got to figure out how to get it off the hook and all that stuff. But I can't imagine you catch a fish ice fishing because you have to earn that fish. You're sitting in a, on an icy pond with a hole in it and you're just freezing.
Yeah.
Hoping that you, and you can't even, I don't even think you reel it in. I think you have to pull it in like by a string. I mean, you're earning that. So yeah. I'm with you, Bernie. A ton of respect for ice fishermen.
Yeah.
Crazy. A ton of it. All right, let's move on here because, listen, not only do we have big high school games this week, this weekend and all things happen, but there is something else big is happening here in the Chittenden County, and that is our UVM men's basketball program is attempting again to get themselves in a position to go to the NCAA tournament, and it all starts tonight, Bernie, at Patrick Gym, and you're going to be there sideline live as our Cats, the number one seed again, gets ready to rock against Maine. What do we got tonight, buddy?
It's going to be the quarterfinal matchup, but Vermont should be all right tonight. You know, you never want to take anybody for granted, but Maine, their all league player is out, Fleming. It's a good matchup, and it's going to be a fun America East tournament.
Now, the way it broke down, obviously, the team that everybody wants. I don't know if you want to see or you're a little nervous to see is UMBC. We know what they did to the UVM Catamounts last year. And to the Virginia Cavaliers. So I don't want to even talk about UMBC. But with them falling, they're the 3 seed.
Yep.
So Vermont won't see them at least till the final potentially.
They reseed.
They reseed. Okay.
So so the reality to see them in the semifinals is, that obviously won't happen. They wouldn't see them till the finals.
Right.
But there is a reseed. So let's say there's an upset. Let's say Albany beats UMBC.
Yep.
And Vermont and Stony Brook wins. Then Albany is coming to town for the semifinals Tuesday.
That would be unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Andrew from Fairfax. What's up, buddy? What's going on today?
All right. Stanton is not one of the most feared hitters. unless you have a very weird definition of how you're going to define one of, it's you're going into top 20, maybe top 25 hitters. You exaggerate his home run power, hitting a shameful 38 home runs in a home run friendly park. He's not a top 5 home run hitter. He doesn't lead the league in intentional walks. Rafael Devers of the Red Sox gets intentionally walked more than Stanton does. Pitchers pitch to him. Why not? Because you underestimate the incredible weakness he has, which is he can't hit the ball. He struck out 211 times. It's a third of his at-bats. He strikes out. Those are incredibly friendly odds. Maybe if you're the 5th starter for the Mariners, you're going to fear him. Right?
Okay.
But otherwise, they don't.
Okay.
Why not? He also leads the league in hitting into double play.
Okay. Let me say this.
This is the best call.
Okay. Of course. So let me say this. Number one, he's a right-handed hitter, and in Yankee Stadium, right-handed hitting wise, is not a home run hitting park. It's one of the more difficult hitting parks to hit out of, when you're a pull hitter, and that's what he is. And I agree with you right now that last year he wasn't the guy that I think the Yankees expected to get. But you have to wait and see. Going into this situation, he has been one of the most feared hitters in baseball. He is one of the most powerful hitters in baseball. His numbers back that up. His career numbers back that up. We have to see what he turns out to be. But to say he's not at all, he's like some average hitter? I mean, come on, Andy. You're better than that, buddy. Come on.
Have a good day, guys.
Have a great day, buddy. Thanks for the call. I mean, I get what he's saying. I mean, I understand what he's saying. He does strike out way too much. He struggled late in the season. I get all that. Maybe in the intentional walk piece. And again, also, you look at that situation. He didn't play well, but at the end of the day, you look at him, you look at his career, and you look and see where he's going to end up. And maybe I'll agree with you in this season, but you got to give him one more year in New York to decide that.
I agree with that. The other piece that, you know, when you think about it, that made sense. You're talking about like a third of his at bats he strikes out.
Yeah,
that's,
oh, terrible.
That's not good.
No question. That isn't good. But if you're defining what my wording is in terms of a feared hitter, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is a home run. He's a home run hit.
Well, he walks in the batter's box, you're saying, is it going to be a home run or a strikeout?
A strikeout, exactly. Yep. But he still hit the high 260s after doing all that stuff. His on-base percentage wasn't as big this year as it probably should have been. But I think a lot of that has to do with playing in New York City, and I think it takes time to develop to be a Yankee. And we'll see where it turns out. I mean, they were saying the same thing about Alex Rodriguez early in his career in New York as well.
Andrew in Fairfax, I appreciate you censoring yourself at the end there. This is live radio, and I heard the unmanageable rage.
Oh, he was upset.
Behind your voice, yeah.
Yeah, he was upset.
That's good. That's all right.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's good to have some passion.
But it is March. It is spring training, and it's college basketball time.
It is college hoop time. Please. It is. So thank you for the call, though, Andy. We appreciate that, man, and we agree to disagree. We'll see. And so when if he does this year hit 290 and hit 55 home runs and drive 140
and
runs,
is the MVP.
I will expect a phone call when that happens, okay?
And the MVP.
And the MVP, because you're calling the MVP.
Yes, okay, we'll see if
that
happens.
I will say that his swing does not, it's amazing to me that his swing
we're still talking baseball.
Has the ability to be able to do that stuff, but we'll see how it works. All right, get back to the UVM basketball talk. Big game tonight, obviously the quarterfinal, but everyone's talking about what we need to have happen and what fans of UVM want to have happen is this basketball team get themselves to a tournament again, which was kind of taken away from them late in the season last year.
Sure. I mean, again, you know, you got to sit back and reflect a little bit, though. 3 years in their conference, the last 3 years, if you include the postseason, Vermont is 50-4.
Oh, it's crazy.
Going into the games tonight. They've replaced how many all-league players? You know, 5, 6, and they keep rolling. You know, they're on the verge to win 25 games if they win tonight. Have a semifinal game on Tuesday. The game is tonight at 7. The other matchups in the league is Stony Brook plays Binghamton tonight at 7. You got to figure that Stony Brook should have their way there. The two more intriguing games, 1 o'clock today, UMBC and Albany.
Yeah.
UMBC's but had a little bit of the injury bug, so they're depleted a little bit. Albany's playing well. I think Albany's already beat them during the year. So, you know, that could be interesting. And then there's Hartford and Lowell. Interesting game. Lowell loves to shoot threes. They make a lot of threes. Hartford plays zone, so that could be interesting. I get nervous with Hartford because they're all seniors. They've come into Vermont and won. You know, they did last year. This is what, you know, they're all in.
Yeah.
with this group and the depth.
Yeah, so, the expectation for Hartford this season was big.
Right. They were preseason pick second. They had a great run. Lost to Stony Brook the last game of the regular season. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I really think that Vermont and Stony Brook will take care of business pretty easily today.
Let me just go to Vermont for a minute. And you made the stat earlier about the record. If they win today, they're 25-4. What did you say the record was today? If they win today,
they win 25th game.
25th game of the season. They would have won their record
if you count the postseason. Going up to this game, the last three years in the America East, they're 50-4.
So get all that, and it all means something, and it's special, and we get all that. But my question to you, Bernie, is I have to ask the question. There comes a point where you got to get that win.
Sure.
You got to get there.
But they just got it 2 years ago.
Understood, but when you're that consistent, it's like you feel like you got to get it every year. When you have that kind of success. So last year, losing in that fashion, again, it happens. Like, you just have bad days. Things happen. People shoot out of their gourd, and it happens in tournament play, especially with the one-and-done situation. That's what's so tough
about
the American East, because they have to win it.
Yes.
But that's what concerns about the Cats is that there's that extra pressure. It's not like, okay, you know, we had a great season, so let's just go have some fun. There's some extra pressure on these kids, right? I mean, and for Becker. I mean, that's what makes Becker so special.
I wouldn't call it pressure right now.
Yeah.
I would call it, I think there's a passion and a frustration to win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of how it was taken from them last year. You know, I think it's really important tonight for Vermont to get out there, shoot well, get that swagger, and just be like, all right, it's not happening this year.
Yeah.
We're winning today. We're winning Tuesday night, and we're winning next Saturday morning to take care of business.
Do you find, because you follow, you cover this team all year, you're around them a lot, that this whole season was built around just to get to this point? Like, here we are now, let's go.
Well, I mean, I think even when we talked about it in the preseason, you know, we were just kind of like, all right, we know we're going to be all right. Let's fast forward to March.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's a three-game season.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but you know, you have to then go back and look at, well, you know, why we're playing every game at Patrick Gym is because we were so good throughout the regular season.
Sure.
And we were so consistent.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the stuff with Coach Becker being Coach of the Year, Lamb Player of the Year, Ernie Duncan, first-team All-League, Sam Dingba and Lamb on the All-Defensive Team, Robin Duncan, Rookie of the Year. I mean, if I'm, you know, Steph Smith, I'm a little upset. Yeah,
chip on the shoulder.
How come I'm not on third team
right.
or second team?
But I guess my point is, listen, we get it. I get it. We best players, best coach, done everything they need to do. They win games. But is this the week? Is this week starting right here, Bernie? Is this where their season starts? You think in their mind? You think at their mind right now, this is where they go? Like their mind right now is focused on we need to win these next three games.
Yeah.
Like this right. is what we've been playing for. Now it's time to go.
Right. This is no doubt right there. Aaron, what you got for me?
Former Vermont Catamounts point guard and 2-time America East Hoops Player of the Year, Trey Bell Haynes, has been acquired by the NBA G League's Wisconsin Herd.
Oh, good for him.
You know, I mean, again, that's great. That's think about that. You got to replace that.
Yep.
You got to replace four other guys that are playing over in Europe, and you're, you know, Peyton Henson, Drew Urquhart, Cam Ward. Who else am I missing from that group?
Oh boy.
No.
Did you say Drew Urquhart?
Drew Urquhart, Peyton Henson, Trey, Cam Ward. I thought there was one more. Why am I drawing a blank? I don't know. But anyways, you're talking about four guys that are going to play professionally.
But let me stop you. Nobody is arguing that.
Yeah,
nobody's arguing how special the program is and what these kids have done and what, and I listen, we say it every way. I mean, people will call us apologists for the program, but I think what this program has done is amazing and that it continues to be what they do and they keep bringing these athletes in. But again, when you have this type of success year in and year out, that tournament, getting to that NCAA tournament is the winning successful. That makes a program right. like UVM the next level. That's what I'm talking about. Like the whole season, even the losses to UMBC, I felt like it was just UVM trying to get that one seed, get the back in the tournament, and let's go. I expect to see UVM's best in the next three games. I really do. I feel the same way about Virginia. God help the team that plays Virginia, the 16 seed that plays Virginia first. I'm just telling you, it's going to be ugly. Because I just feel like there's teams like UVM, teams like Virginia that have things to prove because they've been told that they can't. They have things to prove when they get to that tournament. And I think for Vermont, it starts tonight.
And I think really the biggest thing for Vermont is how are they going to do in terms of shooting the ball and their percentage, especially from behind the three-point line.
Yep.
If teams double, how is Anthony Lamb going to handle the double team?
Yep.
And rebounding.
Yep.
You know, I think that's going to be important. And you know, the interesting thing is there's a lot of people that need to kind of prove themselves for the first time in this setup. You know, we talked about Stan earlier from a baseball, you know, just he struggled in the postseason and didn't come through. Well, now, you know, Robin Duncan, his first go around.
Sure.
Steph Smith was on the team, played a little bit, but really wasn't.
Not expected to be the guy.
Really, really wasn't a main cog and now is the third scorer.
Yep.
Ben Shungu has played himself into a huge role. Ryan Davis.
How about Ben Shungu, by the way?
Yeah.
Local kid getting it done.
Phenomenal.
Great story. Yeah.
Phenomenal story. Ryan Davis and Isaiah Maul and Sam Dingba up front. Guys that haven't had that role. So it's good.
Think about the depth this team has, Bernie.
Right.
You just listed off what, nine guys?
Six guys.
I mean, that's
amazing. You know, to go with Lamb.
Yeah.
Ernie and Everett.
That's
Duncan.
What I'm saying. This team is 9-10 deep.
Yep, it is. And you know, again, what wins championships? Signature defense, rebounding. Vermont does that. They get good play and take care of the ball. We're going to have a nice week coming up.
Who's the worst matchup for Vermont this week?
Ooh. I mean,
mentally UMBC?
Mentally UMBC. I don't like the Hartford matchup. I'm going to say that. I'm okay with the Stony Brook matchup. I'm okay with the UMBC matchup. I get uncomfortable when you say Hartford.
Why?
Because size, something to prove, all seniors, last go around in those losses that Vermont has had. Okay. You know, in the 15-4, three have been to UMBC. Who's the other one? Hartford at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that makes me a little nervous, but, you know, I'll still take Vermont and Coach of the Year and all that kind of stuff. But,
of course,
you know, it's just,
I just get
a little nervous. But first things first, 7 o'clock tonight, pregame on the station at 6:30. Got to take care of business.
Yeah, you got to take care of business and get there if you can, man. Pack Patrick Gym, get it rowdy, get it loud, and let's get our cats in that final. And by the way, if they are in that final next Saturday, I think you and I, Bernie, are going to be there live, my man. Our show's going to be there live starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, though. I think. Yeah, we have to get up early.
Let's win a couple games.
Yeah, gotta win a couple games. Come on, Cats. I want to get up there again. All right.
And we got daylight savings time. We're losing an hour of sleep tonight.
Is that tonight?
That's tonight.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem. Only for a day, though. But you know what that really means?
Thank
it means
God
longer,
it wasn't,
longer
thank God
daylight.
It wasn't last night.
Oh, yeah. I would have done this by myself. Let me say this. The good news about that, though, is longer days, man. Lighter days. Oh, I can't wait for that. All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking college basketball with Sporting News insider Jacob Janauer. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I mean, as much as I hate the weather this time of year, because I feel like late winter, early spring, you know, it's like one day you're loving it because it's 60, the next day it's snowing. I hate that. But I love the NCAA tournament and college hoops. I mean, the next 3-4 weeks, month is insanely good.
Championship week is
it's the best.
As fun as the first Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the tournament.
I mean, I was up late until I fell asleep. I was up last night watching Jacksonville State and Murray State play. That kid that plays for Murray State is unbelievable.
Did you see how that ended?
I did not.
He hit a game winner.
Did he really?
Yeah.
At the buzzer, yeah. So, I mean, it's the time of year.
I didn't see it live. I saw it, you know,
this
morning.
Yeah, we're well aware of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the inside scoop from our good friend from Sporting News, College Hoops Insider, Jacob Janauer. Good morning, Jacob. What's happening today, buddy?
Hey, how are you doing, Jeff?
Hey, good man. Thanks for coming on this morning. This is Bernie and I's time of year. We love college hoops, and now we're starting to get really into the juicy part of the season. But before we get into that, I do want to get your take on what's going on with Will Wade and the situation with the wiretapping. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, it's not looking great for Will Wade right now, but we did see in the past, you know, with some stuff with Arizona and Sean Miller and paying Deontay potentially last year that, you know, there's not everything was necessarily brought to the surface, and there were some, discrepancies on both sides that kind of made it hard to punish him. So it's a little interesting that LSU decided to punish Will Wade, considering the NCAA was unable to kind of gather enough to punish Sean Miller last year. Whether LSU kind of knows more than we do, or they're just kind of jumping the gun and trying to make themselves not look as bad when NCAA does compile all the evidence. We don't really know at the moment, but it's not great for Will Wade, you know, especially with the NCAA tournament coming back. We don't know when, or coming up, I should say. We don't know when this decision's kind of, or when everything's kind of going to come down. So who knows if he's even going to be able to return for the NCAA tournament at this point.
Jake, how dirty is the game, though, in terms of recruiting? I mean, is it really as widespread as some of the pundits are making it out to be? I mean, I feel like they're kind of covering for Will a little bit in terms of, because, I mean, Will Wade is obviously a great coach. He's helped turn around a program at LSU. But, I mean, it's almost like, well, he did it, but everybody's doing it. Is that really the case?
I don't know about necessarily everybody, but I do think, maybe more than publicized, I just think that, you know, outside of the NCAA, you know, so many people within the game kind of know that other people are doing it potentially, and that's why it kind of flies under the radar sometimes. It's almost like accepted at this point, and especially if it's like a small payment for a guy, like 30, 40 bucks to cover dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, maybe a little bit more accepted since a lot of guys don't really see that as a big deal, even though it may be illegal under the NCAA standards. I think some coaches and some head coaches, some assistant coaches, maybe getting away with it a little more than it seems like. It's just, you know, not necessarily viewed as major news by some other guys around the league.
Jake, as we get, you know, into championship week and the NCAA tournament, it seems to me, though, is the NCAA this year a little bit top heavy in terms of, you know, there's Gonzaga, Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Duke, like those five and kind of everybody else? Or can you see someone out of that top five winning the tournament this year?
Yeah, I think you're just about right. I mean, maybe someone from the Big Ten, whether it's Michigan State, if they can get healthy, or Michigan too, can kind of slip in there and at least make the Final Four, but you know, kind of a lot of ifs with that scenario, absolutely. I would say definitely a little bit top-heavy. You know, we haven't seen all four number one seeds make the Final Four in over 10 years, and it's only happened once to begin with. But, you know, this could be the year potentially, although at the same time, you know, it is a weak bubble, but that does kind of allow for some Cinderella mid-major teams that maybe wouldn't make it other years. Maybe looking at, you know, a team like Furman from the Southern Conference, if a few things could go their way in the tournament, in the conference tournament, they might be able to sneak in, and they could kind of play spoiler, or you know, another kind of mid-major like Belmont, not necessarily to these you know, top seeds, but you know, they could at least threaten them and make some noise, and at least provide, you know, some excitement if it does become too top-heavy and you know, a group of four out of these five, six teams that we're expecting to make the Final Four do in fact make it. But yeah, it does seem to get a little thin. You know, I look at some of like these three, four, five seeds in bracketology, and they don't exactly look as intimidating maybe as they have in the past.
Yeah. You mentioned Belmont, the Atlantic Sun Championship this weekend, Belmont Lipscomb. Could you see the loser of that game potentially, you know, like let's say Belmont wins, could Lipscomb be one of those teams to get an at-large, or are they just their resume not strong enough?
I think that really kind of depends. The tricky thing with the bubble is, you know, a bubble team can kind of do, you know, as much as they can, but at the same time, there's so many things that have to happen with so many other teams to kind of determine their fate. I think Lipscomb definitely has a chance. As silly as it sounds, it might come down to how close they play Belmont, whether they would get blown out or not if they lose. But it kind of also depends on, you know, how many of these bubble teams in Power 5 conferences like NC State, Clemson, TCU, Creighton, you know, schools like that, like how far they advance in their tournament. Because if a lot of those teams, you know, get knocked out in the first round or just really don't put up much of a fight, that does make room for, you know, Lipscomb and for Furman, teams like that to kind of sneak in to the tournament as at-large. So I think it really depends, you know, what happens in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, if they play them close, that's a good sign at least.
If this being championship week, what is the one conference tournament that you would recommend out there for everybody to watch wire to wire? You know, just, you know, you got to lock in, even like if it's a 7-10, 8-9 games and then the quarterfinals all the way through. What is the one tournament that you think is going to be the most intriguing?
You know, I would actually go for the SEC this year. We all kind of know it as a little bit of a football conference, but this is probably his best year of basketball in a while. You know, Kentucky, traditional power, and of course they're making noise in Tennessee. We've touched on LSU. Those are really the top three teams, but it's a lot deeper than it's been in the past in terms of, you know, teams in that 7-10 range that could actually, you know, come up and beat one of those teams like Kentucky or Tennessee or LSU. You know, we're talking, you know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Alabama, teams like that, and you know, the Crimson Tide in Florida, and even Arkansas to a lesser extent. Arkansas would need a lot more to go right than Florida and Alabama, but there are those bubble teams in the conference that will be playing for their life, essentially. You know, Alabama might have to win two games. Florida will probably have to win at least one. So there's a lot on the line with those teams. And you know, you can look at a conference like the ACC that's even more stacked than the SEC. But at the same time, the ACC does seem a little bit more predictable in the sense that you can probably assume that, you know, Virginia, North Carolina, Duke are going to be, you know, three of the final four in that tournament, whereas the SEC seems a little bit more up in the air as, you know, Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky, all top 10 teams, but all of have looked very beatable at different points of the season to where if they kind of lost, you know, in the quarterfinals or something, I don't think anyone would be, you know, super surprised.
We are talking to Jake Janauer of Sporting News here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 Through the Game. Jake, I'm glad you brought up the SEC because that's my question. I mean, how good is LSU, Tennessee, and Kentucky when you look at a team like South Carolina that's looking at potentially a 4 seed in that tournament and they're 15-15 overall? I mean, that's my question is, we know the ACC dominance and we get all that, and the Big 12 seems to be a little bit down, but I look at the SEC and you're absolutely right, it's an intriguing league, but is the basketball in that league as good as the top teams are making it look? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would say not necessarily. I don't know how many teams, you know, once the NCAA tournament happens, I don't know how many teams from the SEC outside those top three will even make it to the second weekend. I think maybe Mississippi State would be the best bet, but even then, you know, I don't know if I'd necessarily be counting on Mississippi State, but you know, those teams kind of have cannibalized themselves a little bit. You know, a team like Mississippi State and a team like Auburn, you know, both those programs entered the year with huge expectations. I don't know if people necessarily thought they'd end in the top 10, but people thought they'd be better than LSU and maybe one of those could challenge Tennessee or Kentucky, and they really haven't. They've kind of teetered close to 500 in the conference, despite being, you know, 21-9 in total. But you know, those teams are very streaky. They have a lot of good wins and a lot of bad losses, to the point where it almost seems like anything can happen. There's a lot less safe bets in the conference. I would even maybe question LSU depending on the Will Wade situation and how it plays out and when and even if he comes back, you know, how well LSU can do, because they're a talented team, but you know, a couple of their wins have been, you know, fluky. I mean, they did beat Kentucky, but that was on an alleged goaltending call too. So that was a hotly debated game, and a game they arguably could have lost. So LSU's a talented team, but I don't know, I think I'm a little bit more sold on Tennessee and Kentucky as the only maybe guaranteed Sweet 16 teams from that conference.
Jake, are you a proponent of the, you know, conference tournament at one venue and having that type of atmosphere, or like what some of the smaller conferences do and, you know, have them at the higher seed?
Yeah, I do kind of love just having it in one place. I think that it's best for, you know, everyone to go to for the weekend and kind of know that that's where they're going to be, you know, for the entirety of the 3-4 games. Don't get me wrong, you can't beat, you know, some of these championship games at these smaller schools where they pack the gym and rush the court when, you know, that team makes the NCAA tournament. That's tough to beat. But at the same time, you know, having it at one general location, if it's pretty central to all the schools in the conference, I think just kind of works best, because kind of have, you know, close to an equal amount of most of these fan bases in one place and kind of get a little, like, friendly rivalry going and just kind of know that that's where everything's going to be. As a Big Ten guy, mostly myself, I was a little bit annoyed when they had it in New York City last year. Just didn't make a whole lot of sense considering, you know, where most of the schools are, and it kind of sucked the life out of some of those games. So having it back in Chicago this year and then in Indianapolis the next year, I think makes it a lot better, because, you know, it's not too far for a lot of these people who are alums or who currently go to those schools to just make it down there and go to, you know, 3-4 of these games.
Jake, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Maybe we can have you on again going into the week of the tournament after the brackets are put together.
Absolutely, Jeff.
All right, man. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Jake Genauer from Sporting News. Listen, it's the best time of year. It really is. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens. There are a lot of low mid-major teams that are, Wofford is a team that I think people are really afraid of. Belmont's a team that people don't like, that wouldn't want to see. Murray State, if they get in.
Lipscomb's
another great basketball team. So there's a lot of, it's going to be a lot of bracket busting, I think, going into this tournament. But obviously a great time of year, Bernie.
It is. And, you know, to bring it back to the Catamounts just for a second, look at the record, 24-6. Okay, two losses to UMBC, we know. But the other four losses, Bucknell, Lipscomb, Kansas, and Louisville, all four teams that we could see on Selection Show Sunday.
Crazy stuff. And then again, that just speaks.
I mean, Lipscomb's playing in the championship. It'd be a tough one. I think this weekend at 3 o'clock, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow against Belmont, but just it's the schedule. It's a great time of year.
It is. And again, when you look at UVM's schedule, we talked about it back when they came out with it, because I think Coach Becker announced it on our show here on Sports Saturday. I mean, that just speaks to the volume of where people respect Vermont, because these teams don't schedule Vermont unless they feel it's going to help them get into the tournament.
Right, and, you know, beat teams like Yale, who are going to win the Ivy and Northeastern, who's in, right there for the Colonial. Another special year and the next chapter coming tonight.
Man, I love the NCAA tournament. Such a good time of year. Unless Virginia loses, then I hate it. Or Vermont loses,
so
then
you
I don't like
should,
it.
So you should really hate the NCAA tournament.
Well, no, I get excited for it.
Okay.
Because I have expectation. I hope it meets my expectation. That's all.
Not this year.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's Hot or Not. Don't go anywhere.
I wouldn't bother with those winter coats because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's time for Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
College basketball insider John Rothsteinburn just tweeted out, Duke freshman Zion Williamson will not play tonight at North Carolina.
Yeah, so, no surprise there.
Yeah.
He'll be ready for the ACC tournament.
Yeah. I think he should just shut it down myself.
No, that's what you want as a Virginia fan, not as a college basketball fan.
Of course.
Yes.
I mean, come on, I'm being selfish, man.
That's okay.
That's what I'm doing. All right, hot or not time, kiddo. What do we got?
Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They will not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. No box mix here. Make your day superb. The NBA needs to ease off with the taunting technicals.
Go ahead, buddy.
Not. I mean, I think sportsmanship at every level is diminishing. And everybody sees it on... at the professional level, I think they need to do more. I mean, there's no room for it. It's not necessary. And I think it sends a great message, not only to the adults, but to the children as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to say not as well. I think it's very important. I think, Charles Barkley came out a long time ago. Remember, he said, I'm not a role model.
Fine.
I completely disagree with that. I mean, you are a role model. When you're a professional athlete, there are certain responsibilities that you have. And I truly believe this. When you make that kind of money and you're that kind of person, you have responsibility to kind of carry yourself right. Because there's millions of children that look up to you and people look up to you and make decisions based around things that you do and act like you do. So I agree with you, Bernie. I'm glad you said that. I'm right 100% with you. So big deal there, I think.
Well, we're talking about the Trae Young technical foul off of...
said taunting technicals. You said yes. The NBA needs to ease off. You did not give a specific example. You said the NBA needs to ease off taunting technicals.
But I do want to clarify, do you consider that worthy of a taunting technical?
And explain what you're talking about.
The Trae Young staring down Chris Dunn after he scored on
him. Yeah. I mean, I think that is taunting. I mean, and if the NBA and if the official at that time deems that it is. I mean, look, you can get fined with anything. You know, it's like any athlete, anything that happens, you get fined with it. But I think what Bernie's going with, and I agree with everything you're saying, is that, you have a responsibility. And I think the NBA's responsibility to make sure that its younger viewers understand they got to do things the right way in life. And I think that taunting is not one of those things.
All right. If the Jags sign Nick Foles, I think they might have actually closed that this week after I wrote this. If the Jags sign Nick Foles, they'll be back in Super Bowl contention in his first year.
Sure, hot. I mean, I think in the NFL, it's a year-to-year league. They have a lot of talent on offense, and when they're healthy, they have a lot of talent on defense. When we know that when they're healthy, I think they got a little uninterested late in the year. I think they have some personalities that kind of turned on that team late in the year, but why not? I mean, he's a very good quarterback. He's serviceable, and he's a pro. You put a team around him and a defense around him. Who knows? You just won a Super Bowl with a lesser team, in my opinion, the Philadelphia Eagles a couple years ago.
I'm going to say not for two reasons. Eric Flowers and Michael Olmehe.
Well played.
Two offensive linemen on the Giants that if they weren't even good enough to be on the Giants, then they start in Jacksonville.
Yeah, well played. Well played.
So I'm going to say not.
Okay, that's a good point, too.
That's what I'm going with.
Well done. I can't disagree with you there at all.
Yeah. Michael Bennett brings more baggage than he's worth to the Patriots.
Okay, I'm going
to
say not only because he's gone to the Patriots. Any other team in the league, I'd say, yeah, it's a problem. But not when it's Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Not a problem at all. It doesn't matter who you can bring in Antonio Brown to and Odell Beckham Jr. It's not going to matter because you got the big fella running the show.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think he's going to be very good there. And, I was, as a non-Patriot fan, I was sad when I saw him go there. I'm like, man, really?
Why? He's out of the NFC East. That's good.
Yeah, but he's going to the Patriots.
Who cares?
I agree for the most part.
The Giants play the Patriots this year.
Big deal.
I agree for the most part, but did you know that he has beef with Greg Schiano, our defensive coordinator? Because I didn't know that until I read it last night either.
I mean, I didn't know that.
He called him a small man.
But I will say that Bill Belichick is still the head coach of that team.
I think Bill will be able to figure it out.
He takes care of that stuff.
All right, we talked about this earlier, but we didn't get Bernie's point of view, so I'll say it again. Sonny Gray's claims about the Yankees forcing him into a bad slider justify his struggles in New York.
Not. I mean, I just think it's a ridiculous statement by a guy that's looking for a scapegoat. I think there are pitchers and there are people that come to New York that just aren't successful. And sometimes if you're expendable at that case, Sonny Gray was. He was let go. I mean, he was traded. Simple as that. So I disagree with that. It had something to do with his slider, just the fact that he pitched poorly.
I'm going to say, you know, hot. I don't think they gave him enough chances.
God.
What?
I'm sorry. I think
his struggles were because of the way they managed him, and then they weren't able to figure it out. And I think trading him is just could come back to bite the Yankees this season.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Who says?
All I want to do, I'm trying to poke the bear, and I can see like when you start you're closing up.
I can't do this in hot or not. I can't.
Who says a one pitch pitcher can't be great in this league?
No,
Mariano Rivera.
That's not a starter. That's a reliever.
Oh, okay.
But Mo was the best, baby.
Man.
And well deserved going in the Hall of Fame this year.
No doubt. But I appreciate it. Like, it's getting very warm in here. Yeah. It's coming off my head. I can feel the fumes coming off you.
It is. I'm angry.
Antonio Brown will be a Raider by the end of the week.
That's bold point. I'll say not. I mean, I don't know if he's going to go. I mean, I'm going to say not this week. Maybe in a couple weeks. I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown. I mean, why would the Raiders want to bring that mentality to their team? A young team, they're trying to figure it out. You're going to bring Antonio Brown in? You're out of your mind. So I'm going to say not.
I'm going to say not also. I just think the new GM and Chucky I just don't think they're going to put up with it. And I think they have too many assets. And I don't think to trade those assets in to get him is going to be the right move.
Yeah, just why would you want to bring that mentality to your organization?
I mean, and that guy's not getting paid, and the Bills want to pay him, and he's like, nah.
I don't want to go. I mean, think about that. I mean, that just says everything about him. Like,
would you want to live in Buffalo?
Buffalo's a great city, man. Buffalo is a great city. I'm telling you, I've been there a bunch of times. It's a lot of fun. It's tough in the winter, but it's a fun place to be. And if you win in Buffalo, you are a god in Buffalo if you win.
And they're getting better.
They are. They're a great defense, good quarterback, getting offenses coming together. This would be a good fit for him. But this tells you everything you want to know about Antonio Brown. He's a me guy. He's not a winner. I'm just telling you right now. He's Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
Ooh.
Harsh words. Just saying. Wow. You can't be a me guy if you want to win. You can't be that.
Jeff, you got to save some of your anger for this last one.
You know I have plenty of anger.
I'm gonna answer the next one first.
All right.
Okay.
LeBron has now solidified his place as the greatest of all time.
I mean, I could be hot. I mean, he's just doing some things.
look at the smile over there.
And he's turned. You know, he's won championships in two different cities.
True.
And he's turning things around. Potentially in LA. So, I mean, you know, I think
he's turned things over. Wait, they're eight games out of the eighth seed in LA.
He is trying to turn things around.
He can't even sit with the team on the bench. I'm sorry. Okay.
My bad. No, I got like two more sentences and then you can have the floor for the last 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think with some of the stuff that is happening, I don't think you can really give an honest answer yet because the script hasn't been fully written. But, you know, right now, he's on his way. Go ahead, Jeff.
N-O-T.
No.
Not. He is not better than Michael Jordan. He'll never be Michael Jordan. He doesn't have...
Never.
He just isn't. I mean, and again, we can go through... Stats, great player. I would argue that LeBron James, one of the greatest players ever to live, just does not have the intangibles that Michael Jordan has. He just doesn't. He just doesn't.
But we're not talking about intangibles.
Yes, we are. He's the greatest of all time. We're talking about... The question was stated like this. LeBron has now solidified his place as the greatest of all time. No, he's not greater than Michael. He just isn't. Let's ask you a question here on the Hunt. So my answer was not. You're down 1 point with 10 seconds. Hold on, 10 seconds to play. Who are you giving the ball to, Michael or LeBron? Come on, be honest.
No.
Because you know the answer.
Well, if you gave it to LeBron, he'd pass it away.
Yeah, he'd just shoot a 50. Just, I was telling you. Who would you give it to?
Hey, all I got to say is Michael Jordan.
My whole premise on the show today was to just, you know.
Needle me.
And to make sure that we have, you know, varying types of opinions.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm asking you a question.
But then I have to say LeBron.
No, listen,
because of everything I've said in the show.
You can be honest with the listeners and be honest that you'd give the ball to Michael. Who wouldn't give the ball to Michael? Michael is the greatest ever to play. He's big time. He does it. That's what he does.
Throw me the oop.
Yeah, throw me the oop.
Michael Jordan, game six, Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Dagger.
Nah, it wasn't a charge. Come on.
Dude, he pushed Byron Russell into the third row.
Come on.
I mean, it was one of the greatest shots of all time, but really.
It was the 90s. You're allowed to do that in the 90s. You get away with that stuff.
And if you base success on numbers, let's look at the numbers. Like, LeBron has great numbers, but Michael was in college for 2 years, didn't come out for 2 years, took off, what was it, 2 or 3 years for baseball. I mean, just think of the numbers he would have compiled if he just stayed.
It would have been an eight-peat.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
So, speaking of numbers, what are our people on the Green City Garage poll ask?
73% Michael Jordan. They agree.
I mean, I get it. I mean, it's not a tough question.
Oh, it is.
I don't know.
I think it is.
Tough if you're 12.
He might be right there.
Have never seen him play. Didn't watch any of the documentaries.
It's true.
Haven't really read the stats.
And the game in the NBA has changed so much. That it's, I mean, just the fact that they really don't play defense anymore in the NBA. And back in those days, they did. And Michael Jordan also was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year how many times?
Hey, we forget right before Game 6 shot, he took the ball from Karl Malone. Karl Malone had been killing him in that post spot all night. He took it away.
And he was sick.
He was sick. That's right. He was getting IVs.
And so was Ron Harper.
He was getting IVs that game.
And Scottie Pippen was hurt.
But why
are you fired up on this?
Because I love Michael Jordan, and I still think he's the greatest.
Okay. But if you think about Michael Jordan doing what he did on the offensive side and also being the defensive player of the year every year, that takes a toll. I mean, that's something else that people forget about. So, all right, we got that figured out.
Yeah.
I don't know what's better, your like passion or your T-shirt today, Aaron. I like that T-shirt.
Oh, it's the Joker.
Yeah.
That's me.
It's a nice look. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this show, you guys. Thanks for listening. Don't go anywhere.
The Dan Patrick Show.
The Bryce Harper love is everywhere. Signs everywhere. Like, welcome to Philly. We love you, Bryce Harper.
Yeah, for now. It should be. We love you for now. Here is what Bryce Harper had to say when he was introduced at his Phillies press conference.
You know, we want to bring a title back to D.C.
No, he did not say D.C.
We want to bring a title back to D.C.
What?
The Dan Patrick Show. Weekdays from 9 to noon on 101.3 The Game.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Second half of this hour, I wasn't able to get to this, Bernie, but we had a text from Jay on the text line. He said, I didn't watch him because I was not, oh, this is the Michael Jordan, but he also wrote, we were asking about Trey Bell Haynes. He was just signed by a G League team. Trey Bell is too small to be an NBA guard who can't shoot the three. Then he came back and said, maybe he's developed the shot. I haven't watched his
own. That was me.
Oh, that was you that wrote that. Okay, so let's respond to Jay here with Trey Bell Haynes.
I mean, I understand Jay's concern, and, you know, I mean, there is some truth to it, but again, maybe he's developed that jumper. And you know, the best part about it is he's got a chance.
Yeah.
He's got a shot. Yeah. Someone believes in him, take a chance. As you know me, like, as a Duke lover, I always, you know, I am just so amazed at how Quinn Cook is now an important cog at Golden State in doing that. I would never have envisioned that, him being a solid backup in the league.
Yeah.
But so, you know, develop that jumper. You play good defense, you pass the ball, you never know, but now at least he's got a chance, and that's the most important thing.
And you know what's neat about this is he's getting a chance now. This isn't like he's just coming off like a great career like he had at UVM. It means he's worked really hard and put himself in a position. I mean, this is a big deal for him.
Yeah.
This is an exciting time.
Awesome.
It really is. It says a lot, again, about the program. We got athletes all over the world, and now we have guys creeping into the NBA. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it really is good.
And it's not impossible as a small guard who doesn't shoot the three to make it, so long as you have two strong dimensions on offense. It's usually scoring around the rim and moving the ball. You got examples like Jason Williams. I mean, he was a great passer, so maybe a little different. Allen Iverson's actually underrated in that sense because he only shot 313 from his career from three-point range and never shot over 360.
Allen Iverson could score anywhere.
Yeah, but he was not a good percentage shooter from three, but he was so incredible from everywhere inside the arc, and he could move the ball if he wanted to. Never had teammates worth moving the ball to. But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that he's any of those guys, but if you're good enough, you can make a roster without shooting the three.
And let's be honest here, regardless of what you think of his game, it doesn't matter what you or I think. It matters who the people that are making the decisions think. And if they feel that he's talented enough or they can develop him, good for him.
That's right.
So you're not going to tell me the kid can't shoot. The kid's a gamer. The kid's a big time. I'll never forget his junior year against Purdue in the NCAA tournament. That was one of the most impressive things I'd seen any UVM kid ever do. And that even goes against the Sorrentine shot against Syracuse. What he did against a very talented Purdue team was spectacular, keeping Vermont in that game. So congratulations to Vermont graduate Trey Bell Haynes and his he's moving into the NBA G League. That's a great thing for the program. Hey, keep it here all day on 101.3 The Game, starting at 2:15. We've got Georgetown at Marquette. That is a huge game, especially for Marquette.
It is, and that for me is the one tournament you have to watch.
The Big East tournament.
Big East tournament is so anybody, I think, could win that tournament.
All these tournaments are going to be insane. They start this weekend at 6:30 tonight. Coverage starts for the big, as far as we're concerned up here in the North Carolina, the granddaddy of them all, the America East Tournament starts tonight. Maine is at Vermont. Coverage starts at 6:30. A game starts at 7 at the gut. At Patrick Gym, it's going to be great. Tomorrow, we got the Bruins in Pittsburgh. Tonight on 96's Zone, it's the Celtics in L.A. starting at 8
Kyrie
o'clock.
Kyrie and LeBron. Here we go.
Kyrie and LeBron. Talk about, don't watch that. Don't listen to that. Don't bother doing that. You're not going to enjoy
it.
Don't do that. Just relax.
They only win championships together.
That's true. That's very true. Hey, listen, we'll be back next week. We are Sports Saturday. If everything goes well, fingers crossed, maybe we'll be live at Patrick Gym next week. It would be a 3 times in a row for us, man, if we got to do that again. How great is that day up there?
It is the most fun
it really is.
Can ever have.
It really
seriously.
It really is.
It's just,
they have a fan fest before it starts. Crowds coming in, and it's an honor for us to be able to do the show before the game, obviously. And obviously, hopefully, we're hoping that our cats are there. But anyway, nevertheless, have a great weekend, everybody. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon. I am Jeff. He's Bernie. He's Aaron. And we're here. We'll be here again next Saturday. But before I go, I have to ask this question for you. Before we go, I forgot. Duke, Carolina tonight. Who do you got?
Carolina by 7.
Carolina by 7. Really? You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I just don't think there's enough enough size for the Dukies to match up with Carolina.
Without Zion. Inside.
Yep.
Yeah, so you think the Carolina win. So that happens. Carolina drops to the Duke, goes with a 3 seed in the ACC tournament. And it'll be another Duke and Carolina game coming up again.
In the semifinals.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.